Let's pray. Father and our God in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you speak. And when you speak as your children, as your friends, as your servants, as your disciples, our responsibility is to listen. And like young Samuel, we'll say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak to us in your word now. And may we leave here, Jesus, encouraged in you and encouraged to live right, to be right, and to do right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you should get vaccinated. God has expressed interest in the harmonious development of your physical, mental, and spiritual powers. It is to your advantage to get vaccinated. And like I said, pay attention to how it's spelled in your bulletin. Get vaccinated God's way. Now, as God gave us his 10 commandments for spiritual development with mental health benefits attached to, God also gave us 8 laws of health to govern our physical development and well-being. And it's amazing that the reading for the offering today also mentioned those 8. Get vaccinated. I guess I begin to see it now. We're working with the 8. We're working with the 8. Follow God's 8 laws of health. That is what I mean by the term today, get vaccinated. So if you get a cut, what happens under normal circumstances? Biological science tell us platelets immediately go to work to try and seal up the wound and prevent us from bleeding out. Platelets, they call them. Wounds too severe may overwhelm this process. Similarly, we overwhelm our system by habitual violation of God's 8 laws of health. Obeying God's health laws secure for us nature's vaccine. So, get vaccinated. We had our scripture reading, and this one in 3 John, it has one chapter, so 3 John 1 and verse 2, it says, beloved, agapetos, loved one, an endearing term that John uses. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. How many of you really like to get sick? How many of you feel better when you're sick? You feel better when you have a fever? We shall carry out an evaluation on this brother of ours. So, you know, when you don't feel well, you ask people to pray for you. You pray to God yourself because you're just not feeling yourself. And your prayer, your effort, your aim is to get well again, right? And so, John is saying here that our health is important. God made sure it's written down in scripture, and nothing makes it to the Bible by chance. If you find a principle in the scriptures, God meant that principle to be there. And he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And in answer to a prayer for healing long ago, God answered in Exodus 15 and verse 26, quote, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. according to this verse, does God put disease on some people? Nobody wants to answer except Brother Elias. According to this verse, does God put disease on some people? All right, I'll read it for you again. God says, if there's a condition, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Did the verse say God put disease on some people? It said he brought it on the Egyptians. And it says, if you diligently follow his ways, he will not put it on you. This is what is called cause and effect. God has given us 8 laws of health to live by. And if we keep those 8 laws of health, the diseases that he brought on the Egyptians, he will not bring on us. Do you know that disease is an effort by nature to rid the system of toxins? And sometimes it's too far gone, it's overwhelmed. And that's why it breaks down further. Now, read Leviticus chapter 11. And you will see there God's commandments and statutes that he tells us to diligently obey. Leviticus 11 talks about meat or flesh foods that God permits and that God prohibits. Eating unclean animals shorten our lives and ruin our health. I want you to catch that. Eating unclean animals shorten our lives and ruin our health. Moreover, such a practice has always been forbidden by God for obvious reasons. Yahweh, as his name appears there in Leviticus 11. And by the way, there is nowhere in the Bible that God speaks more than in the book of Leviticus. How many of you knew that? There's more direct sayings of God in Leviticus 11 than anywhere else in the entire Bible. In Leviticus 11 and verse 3, Yahweh himself says, among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Herbivorous animals that ruminate and have split hooves are clean animals. Now, God says, don't eat the meat of anything derived from hares, that's rabbit-type animals, hyraxes, you know, like woodchucks, you know, groundhogs, beavers, and all the, what they call dasses, that class of animal. God says don't eat any of them, though they themselves are herbivores. God says do not eat camels, or swine's flesh, or pig's flesh, pork, and lard, that's a derivative, most commonly from pigs. God says, stay away from this. And you may ask, why am I preaching this at Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church? You'd be surprised. Not even those who are online, you'd be surprised. I remember going to one place, I was placed on an assignment. I worked secular, in the secular field at that time. And I met up with a fellow Seventh-day Adventist. And, you know, there was a group, and some of the ladies went out and bought some lunch. And then this other lady was asking for some of the lunch from one of the ladies who went out to buy. And the person who went out to buy said, no, it's pork. And I know you don't eat pork at Seventh-day Adventist. She says, no, just take out the pork and give me the rice and the gravy. You remember we learned in Sabbath school about a certain brother that was on his way into the church and he got to observe the two groups in the church? I saw that with my own eyes, and she ate it right there. I couldn't rebuke her there, but I spoke with her. I said, man, how can you do this? What kind of a witness are you giving to these people? That was a long-standing member of the church. So in addition to this first part, God also says in Leviticus 11, verse 12, whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. To eat shellfish, you know, the shrimps and lobster and crayfish and which one? Plank? Oh, plankton, I don't even know them. Yes, they're unclean. And the general term for them are called crustaceans. They're all unclean. Today, they sell it in restaurants as delicacies. And you pay big money, everybody brag, oh, I had seafood for lunch today. Seafood. To eat shellfish and crustaceans is detestable to God and is a sin. Furthermore, God says in Leviticus chapter 11, the second half of verse 13 all the way down to verse 20, God says the eagle. So long before the eagle was a protected species in the United States of America, God says don't eat the eagle. Amen? God says the eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, and the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. That's where verse 19 ends. God says, don't eat them. And I pause at that because human beings are always going against God's will. God says, don't eat the bat. And we just emerged from a COVID-19 pandemic. And do you know the source, the host site of the coronavirus? That whole family of virus, including SARS way back in 2002. Do you know the host site for those viruses? Bats. In southern China, there's a particular bat in southern China that is the host site for the coronavirus and all SARS-CoV-2 viruses. Bats. They are native bats to southern China. And, you know, they try to make a politics of the situation. But back in 2002, it was the same Wuhan Institute of Virology that there was a problem with that. First SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome. Same lab that is associated now with COVID-19 in Wuhan in China. And guess who are the ones doing the research in that lab? American and Chinese scientists together. Their own documents say so. I'm only telling you from what I read what they say. And somebody messed around with the bat, and the world paid a heavy price. God says, don't mess with the bat. And people eat this stuff. People handle that stuff. God said, don't even touch it. And somebody messed with it, and the world paid a heavy price. Whether they upgraded to military biological status, that I don't know. I'm no scientist. But we know the origin of this thing is
bats from southern China.
God says the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. Verse 20, all flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you. End of quote. By the way, for those of you who still eat clean meats, you know you can find a very, what you'd say, no, inexpensive source of clean meats. The Bible says you can eat grasshoppers. So if you eat clean meats, I suggest you try grasshopper. Sugar, chocolate coated or crisp fried, deep fried with flour on it, you know. French fried grasshoppers. The Bible says it's clean. And to me, that's an inexpensive source of clean meat. But you see how people cringe when they hear that. Amazingly, Adam and Eve would have cringed to know that you ate turkey. Adam and Eve would have cringed to know that you ate that nice fried chicken. They would have cringed. Chicken legs. That was my favorite when I ate chicken. So you see, it's amazing how far we've come. God does allow the clean meats, but God has also sent light that is moving us back to the diet in the Garden of Eden. Amen. So I will not just stop at the clean meats. But if you do eat meats, it's only the clean ones. Amen? But God is moving his people beyond that. As for things like duck meat and duck eggs, etc., if you're not certain, because sometimes there are some that it's a little bit clouded when you read the Bible classification. It doesn't mention it in particular. But a good principle I practiced from my high school days was, when in doubt, leave it out. Yep. When in doubt, leave it out. God's dietary prescription for optimal health is also repeated in Deuteronomy 14. And by the way, I've told you before, the word Deuteronomy is from Greek origin, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures. And Deuteronomy is from two words, deuter and nomos. Deuter means second, nomos means law. So Deuteronomy is a second law. And so you find the Ten Commandments, for example, in Exodus 20, they are repeated in Deuteronomy 5. You find God's health laws laid out in Leviticus 11 and 17 mention the blood aspect, and you find that repeated in Deuteronomy 14. So Deuteronomy means a second law. So in your own time, read Deuteronomy 14. Now, did you know that idolatry is linked even to one's choice of food? How many of you here would bow down to a statue of Buddha? How many of you would bow down to one of the 360,000 Hindu gods? I guess 1,000 per day. How many of you would bow down to a sculpture that supposedly is Mary? Idolatry, you wouldn't do that. But yet, do you know that idolatry can be through your food? Christ left us an example of strict temperance. Plus, the writings of God's prophets and apostles that constitute the Bible clearly shows us the right way. Amen? And to act in contravention of holy Bible walk is a sin. Look at what Paul says professed believers were doing. If you turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through to 19. Look at what Paul says believers were doing. These are not professed, unconverted, unchurched people. These are people who say they were believers. Philippians chapter 3, 18 and 19. Paul says, For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Paul says, I'm telling you this with weeping. That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. These are people in the church, you know. These are people in the Philippian church, the church at Philippi. In Paul's time, it says, they are in church, they are walking, but they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And then he says in verse 19, whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? And those, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Can you imagine exchanging God for your belly and being a belly God? Whose God is their belly? They did back in Paul's time. Now, if you think that's only a New Testament thing, look at what God himself says in Leviticus 17 and verse 7. God says, they shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons. After whom they have played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. God says people back then were offering their sacrifices to demons. These are church people. Whatever God does, he does it right the first time. God's 8 laws of health are carried forward throughout the New Testament time with even greater force. Read, for example, the whole chapter on the Jerusalem Council and the Jerusalem Decree in Acts 15. That whole chapter talks about that. But my focus now is on Peter's summary statement in Acts 15, verses 18 through to 20. Peter says, known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them. What should we write to them? To one, abstain from things polluted by idols. God is still against idolatry. And if we make our bellies our gods, God is still against that. There are some people who live to eat. As God's children, we should eat to live. Amen? He says here, we should write to the Gentiles to abstain from things polluted by idols. Abstain from things polluted by idols. Abstain from sexual immorality. Abstain from things strangled. And abstain from blood. You can read further details on this in Leviticus chapter 17, verses 10 through to 15. As you can see, God spent a considerable amount of time on dietary laws because they are important to, in a large sense, you are what you eat. A too little known truth is God's 8 laws of health. By the New START acronym that represents these 8, the first health law is nutrition. A study on God's original diet for humans will yield treasures. I say to folks, always go back to the Genesis experience. If you want to know which direction to go, go back to Genesis always. Go back to that creation story and see what God laid out for humans, and he'll always be correct. Today, all these problems they're having and bringing on TV and invading the schools, just go back to Genesis. The answers are right there in the first chapter. Just go back to Genesis, and if we just follow what is in Genesis, we don't need the rest of the Bible. We can stay in Genesis 1 and we have all we need for salvation. When God made the first pair of humans, What diet did he give them? I wonder if they lacked anything. What was their source of nutrition? Did Adam and Eve, did they have to eat any animals to get their protein? Did they have to eat any animals to get their vitamin B12? They try to fool us with that stuff. I would rather take what the Bible says than what anyone else says. As a matter of fact, even if Jesus should appear to me, if he doesn't speak according to the Bible, it's not Jesus. And I'm not listening to him. How do you know it's Jesus anyway? You got to check that word. How do you know, Gary?
We won't see Jesus again, and we'll meet him in the sky.
The Bible told you so, right? That's one good piece of evidence there, Gary. Don't look for Jesus to come down in the Vatican or in the White House, because he won't appear that way. The next time we see Jesus, he'll be riding down the aisles of the skies, and he'll pause mid-air and call us up. So, the question to you is, what was the source of Adam's and Eve's nutrition? In Genesis 1 and verse 29, quote, "And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." So then, should we be eating seedless foods? It's amazing, this GMO stuff is showing up everywhere. Seedless watermelon, and seedless this fruit, and seedless that fruit. I'll say to you, simply, it's better for you to stick with the seeded ones. The seedless ones, they have been altered. They did some kind of modification, genetic modification there. Now, in child guidance, how many of you read child guidance? How many of you have been parents? Then how can I be parent and I don't read child guidance? You want to know how to guide the child on divine terms and principles. In child guidance, page 381, quote, "We do not mark out any precise line to be followed in diet. But we do say that in countries where there are fruits, grains, and nuts in abundance, flesh food is not the right food for God's people." I wonder if America has an abundance of fruits, nuts, and grains. I want to decide that for you. You can decide for yourself. You are of age. I'll just tell you what inspiration says. "We have not marked out any precise line to be followed in diet, but we do say that in countries where there are fruits, grains, and nuts in abundance, flesh food is not the right food for God's people. I have been instructed that flesh food has a tendency to animalize the nature, to rob men and women of that love and sympathy which they should feel for everyone." You know, hear a lot of people talk, and all they talk about is their family. If your family is all you love, you're woefully lacking. Here we are told we are to love everyone. The love and sympathy that we should feel for everyone. Is your prayer only about you and yours? You're not even being a Christian yet, then, if you think so. We are supposed to love. True, your family is your first responsibility. Absolutely. But if your family is the only people you pray for, pray some more and begin to pray beyond your family. Amen? It says, I've been instructed that eating flesh food, has a tendency to animalize the nature, to rob men and women of that love and sympathy which they should feel for everyone. and to give the lower passions control over the higher powers of the being. If meat eating was ever healthful, it is not safe now. On June 6, 1863, God gave our prophet her first comprehensive vision of a series of visions on health reform. And those counsels work just like Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." End of quote. See, light kept coming to us through the gift of prophecy all the way up until now. And so that's how I say, get vaccinated. God's way. We are to be the head of hell consciousness and not the tail of diseases. Head and not the tail, amen? Vaccines were meant to prevent illnesses. God's 8 laws of health are nature's universal vaccine. Taken together as the divine pharmacist prescribes, God's 8 health laws are formidable in preventing lifestyle diseases. So what do I say to God's children here today? Sign up for God's Affordable Care Act. It is free for all humans. Amen? God's 8 laws of health are a true gift to us. And a word to the wise is sufficient. Did you know that an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure? An ounce of prevention is better than a whole pound of cure. God says in Exodus 15:26, you heard it before. He answered and said, he spoke up and said, if you diligently, see, that's a qualifying word right there, diligently. Because some of us, once a year, we check out the health laws, you know. Once in a while, we try to see, what were they again? What were the 8 laws of health again? God says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. End of quote. Who heals us? I thought it was that doctor. I thought it was over there, Robert Packer. I thought it was at such and such an institution. It says it's the Lord who heals you. Now, can God heal you through Robert Packer? Absolutely. God heals through conventional medicine too. God heals through herbal medicine too. God heals through miracles. And at the end of the age, God will heal at the resurrection. Amen? Amen? So we pay attention to that. So all true healing comes from God. God has given us 8 health laws. They promote wellness and they prevent diseases. God calls us to diligently obey them. Get vaccinated, right? Who want to get vaccinated today? Get vaccinated. Get God's 8 health laws maxed out in your life. They are listed in one place in Ministry of Healing, page 127. Pure air, sunlight. How many we got? We're trying to get to 8, right? Pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness. Who used that? When was the last time you used that word? Or today is the first time? It's an older word, an obsolete word, but it means temperance. There you go. Not even temperance we don't use too often anymore. But that's what it means. Pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, rest. How many of us are in violation of that law? We stay up whatever time we want. We say, hey, I'm a grown man and grown woman now anyway. Who can tell me what time to go to bed? Rest. Exercise. Proper diet. The use of water. Trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. End of quote. In Medical Ministry, page 259, quote, the principles of health reform are found in the Word of God. All eight that I just listed, they are scattered throughout the scriptures. The principles of health reform are found in the Word of God. And catch this one, I really like this. The gospel of health. How many have heard that term before? The gospel of health is to be firmly linked with the ministry of the Word. The gospel of health, the good news of health, is to be linked with the ministry of the Word. It is the Lord's design that the restoring influence of health reform shall be a part of the last great efforts to proclaim the gospel message. End of quote. You know, Weimar Institute out there in Northern California calls God's eight health laws New Start. They came up with that acronym. And we need a new start in so many areas of our lives. Isn't that so? Yep. I know I do. No, in this acronym New Start, what does it all mean? The N is for nutrition. Same as proper diet. And the more we go to a whole foods, plant-based diet, the better it is for us. I smile sometimes, even at myself, you know. When you look at the food tray, at the food line, you wonder, where's the vegetable with all these vegetarians, you know? We have all the analogs. We have veggie this and veggie that and no veggies. We need more the greens than the plates, man. We all have all these things that are made from fruit, but where's the fruit? Eat the actual fruit too, man. Eat the actual veggies too. Yes. And so the more we go to a whole food plant-based diet, the better it is for us. Amen? How about exercise? And Luke is maybe like 84, somewhere around there. And this man still goes to the gym. Put some of us to shame. This man still goes to the gym. 84. Yeah. Say it's harder. And, you know, so he still goes. And for exercise, we need an average of about 40 minutes of exercise daily to keep in check. And there's a couple that has been married for, I don't know the year, 48 years. 40? 48. Yes, so I did get it. Ah! The grays are coming, but some memory is still there. And one of the things they do every day, they walk together. What is it? The couple that walks together stays together? You know, the way the prophet said, can two walk together lest they be agreed, you know? Literally and figuratively and spiritually, can two walk together, you know? So that exercise is very good. And we need about 40 minutes daily. How about water? Nutrition, that's the N, the E is exercise, the W is water. And the formula for the amount of water we should be drinking on average daily is our body weight divided by 2 in ounces. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you should be doing 100 ounces of water per day. Good fresh water. Yes, come to Vestal Hills. I hear they have some good, they have their own well over there. It's sweet water, right? And then the S is for sunlight. And we should get adequate amounts of sunlight each day. And here's something now. The darker the skin, the less you absorb sunlight. Did you know that? The lighter the skin, it's easier. And so especially in these regions that are usually cloudy, especially in the winter months, you want to pay attention to your vitamin D. Vitamin B, as in daylight. Because that COVID really hit the people hard who were low on vitamin D. And many of us can be very low on vitamin D if we don't pay attention. When last have you checked your vitamin D levels? The recommendation is you should do it twice a year. Check on the vitamin D levels. A severe lack in vitamin D is associated with various forms of cancer. Breast cancer for one of them. We studied this many, many years ago. So get your adequate amounts of sunlight each day. And then comes the T, new start. The T in start, that first T is temperance. And temperance is the same as abstemiousness. And this is where you moderately use what's good. Use good things in moderation and totally discard everything bad. So, very early, one of our prophet's first vision on health was in 1848. And then there was another one about 1853. But then the big comprehensive one came on June 6, 1863. And one of the things you'll know is Seventh-day Adventists were known from those early years as people who stay away from coffee, tea. That's it, you know, those are the caffeine. Coffee, tea, and those stimulants. Flesh food came later. But at first it was against coffee and tea and tobacco, etc. And the first time I've seen Seventh-day Adventists using Pepsi was when I came to North America. Those are caffeinated beverages and colas. And today you sound odd when you say it, that people shouldn't. They are caffeinated. We actually took a vow when we were getting baptized that we're going to traffic in narcotics or other drugs or those stuff. We took a vow when we were getting baptized that we weren't going to touch those. And I see many Adventists now drinking up the coffee. That's not good. Practice the 8 laws of health and you won't need coffee. Go to bed on time so you can get your rest. Exercise so you can get reinvigorated. You know? And use some good flax seed if you need some extra energy. Ground it up and put it in your cereal and all that stuff. That's a good energy food right there. Flax seed. And so, you know, we need to practice that temperance. And then the A in start is for air. And we should do a lot of deep breathing of God's free, fresh air. Free and fresh. And then rest. You should get your 8 hours nightly. And rest on God's Sabbath. Rest on God's Sabbath. And then that T is trust in divine power. Trust in divine power. Yep. Now, get vaccinated by practicing God's 8 health laws in your life. Live in harmony with all of them. Check yourself. Love God with all your heart and obey Him diligently. Get vaccinated. A neat thing about God's 8 laws of health is that wherever I have been on earth, I was able to afford them. I was able to afford all 8. I tried them in Mexico and the Caribbean. I tried them here in the U.S. I have tried them in Africa and Canada. And I was able to afford them in all of these continents and countries that I have been. Can you afford New Start? Ministry of Healing 127 says, every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. It is essential to understand the principles, both to understand the principles involved in the treatment of the sick and have a practical training that will enable one rightly to use this knowledge. And so when Paul says in Ephesians 6:11-13, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This armor includes the gospel of health. John says, beloved, 3 John 1:2, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, our health is our greatest wealth. Back in college, I saw peers practicing unhealthful things. They were spending their health chasing wealth. And I imagine that someday it would catch up to them and they would spend that same wealth that they chased, no trying to regain their health. But let us make wise, godly decisions today. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 2, "For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject men, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." End there in verse 8. Christ says in John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." He also says in John 12:26 in the second half, "If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." As I begin to move to my conclusion, here's what Ministry of Healing says, page 226 to 227. If we live according to his word, every precious promise he has given will be fulfilled to us. We are undeserving of his mercy, but as we give ourselves to him, he receives us. He will work for and through those who follow him. But only as we live in obedience to his word can we claim the fulfillment of his promises. End of quote. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If we render to him only a partial, half-hearted obedience, his promises will not be fulfilled in us. So what's my call to you today? To fully obey God's 8 laws of health. And that's so you get vaccinated God's way. That's God's ironclad way of being vaccinated. Follow the 8. Last quote for you is this one. In the Word of God, we have special instruction relative to special prayer for the recovery of the sick. How many of you have ever asked or been asked to pray for the sick? Do you know that there are conditions that God established for praying about the sick? Catch this. In the Word of God, we have instruction relative to prayer for the recovery of the sick, like, you know, James 5. But the offering of such prayer is a most solemn act and should not be entered upon without careful consideration. In many cases, praying for the healing of the sick, that which is called faith is nothing less than presumption. Many persons bring disease upon themselves by their self-indulgence. They have not lived in accordance with natural law or the principles of strict purity. Others have disregarded the laws of health in their habits of eating and drinking, dressing, or working. Often, some form of vice is the cause of feebleness of mind or body. Should these persons gain the blessing of health, many of them would continue to pursue the same course of heedless transgression of God's natural and spiritual laws, reasoning that if God heals them in answer to prayer, they are at liberty to continue their unhealthful practices and to indulge perverted appetite without restraint. If God were to work a miracle in restoring these persons to health, he would be encouraging sin. It is labor lost to teach people to look to to God as a healer of their infirmities unless they are taught also to lay aside unhelpful practices. In order to receive his blessing in answer to prayer, they must cease to do evil and learn to do well. Their surroundings must be sanitary, their habits of life correct. They must live in harmony with the law of God, both natural and spiritual. So is it your decision now to be vaccinated? By the indwelling power of Christ, do you pledge to love God and to obey God's 8 laws of health? Do you present your body as a living sacrifice for Jesus to perform health reform in you? Well, if you have said yes to these questions, I invite you to stand with me. If you didn't say yes, don't stand. I'm inviting those who have said yes to stand with me as we will sing in our commitment today, number 248. And then we'll have our closing prayer. And today we have the tables all decorated with the national flag and everything, remembering those who gave themselves a sacrifice for the freedoms we enjoy in this country, liberty of conscience. Jesus was the one who gave the greatest of all sacrifice, and the liberty to choose. And so today, as we go from service, what can we take away? Let us get good rest in the nighttime, and especially on Friday night, so we can come to Sabbath school on Sabbath morning. Amen? Friends, Sabbath school is as important as the church service. I just want to put that one out there. It would be nice to see all of us here in church in Sabbath school as well. It's a part of church. We should make the efforts. True, we go to school on time. We go to work on time. We make doctor's appointment on time and all of that stuff. We collect our paychecks on time and the retirement on time, right? We should come to Sabbath school on time too. Make the effort. And like I said, once this Sabbath closes today, begin to make plans for the next Sabbath. Plan for it. You might not make it there, but plan for it. Amen? Amen. At least if you're planning for it, you'll be in the right frame of mind. Plan for the next Sabbath as soon as one closes. And that way, we can really begin to keep God's Sabbath holy. To rest the way God wants us to. And those screens, get off those screens in the nighttime. Rest the eyes. Rest the brain, rest the nerve. Too much of that light is not good for us. And brothers and sisters, let's exercise. It's not just the lips we need to exercise. We need to move the whole body. Amen? Amen. Yeah, find one that works for you. If it means starting with 25 steps a day, then do 25. At least be consistent with the 25. But let's do something. Let's constantly check those 8 laws of health and see where we are. And, you know, we want to be the healthiest we can be. We want to be the fittest we can be. And so we can have clear minds, strong bodies to serve our God and Maker. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus was pretty fit. He was always walking. Didn't take an Uber everywhere. Yes, our lift. Yes, he was walking and ministering and he kept fit. Yeah, he was pretty trim. He was pretty trim. And Jesus was very temperate in his eating and drinking habits, you know. Never drank alcohol. Yes. When he was thirsty on the cross and they gave him vinegar, he refused it. Amen. Amen. Nothing fermented for our Savior. Amen. Nothing. Give him pure water to drink. Is that what he asked about the well in John 4? When he was crucified and they pushed that sword in his side, what came out? Blood and water. I tell you, all the principles are there. They're there. So let us practice those 8 laws of health. So we have the 10 commandments, the moral spiritual law. After that, let's follow the 8 laws of health. So you have the 10 and then you have the 8. Check into them regularly. And ask God for power to live and keep them all. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, at least once per month, we celebrate a part of our Sabbath fellowship with a meal. We call it fellowship meal. And Lord, it's nice to see more people come on board. Bring a dish to pass. Help with getting the kitchen tidy again before we leave. It's a division of labor, Lord. And many hands make light work. So I pray that each of us will be conscientious about this. That we can carry our part too. We can do our part too. As is expected of us. Give us a change of heart, Lord. Give us a new thinking. Help us to not only love and have feeling for our own family members in our household, but help us to have love and good feeling for everyone. And that includes our church family here. So I pray, Jesus, that you'll bless each of us. Help us to be faithful to you, to be true to you, to be loyal to you. And help us to do our part to make each of these meal time a success by bringing a dish to pass and by helping where help is needed. Help us not to all wait to be called by this person or that person. Help us to volunteer, Lord. We pray for this meal that we are about to partake of. We pray from inside here that you bless this food. Bless all of those who prepared it, Lord, and laid it out so we can participate. And we pray, Jesus, that you will bless our fellowship together. Thank you for your word today. And help us all to pay attention to your 8 laws of health and to get fully vaccinated. Cleanse us from all sin and guilty conscience. May we go from this place free to go love you, live for you, and obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.